Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Well, 12 after, and I think maybe Joan Pryde will be in a good mood this hour. Now that the person that she admires almost most in the world brought us into the thing there. That's a little bit of Eric Clapton, and Joan Pryde likes you, Eric, don't you, Joan?
I love Eric Clapton.
What is it you
almost
say?
Almost as much as I love Redskins coach Joe Gibbs.
You had to bring that up.
Well, when you started, I didn't know where you were going with that. I thought you were gonna talk about Joe Gibbs.
I don't care about Joe Gibbs.
Well, I do.
Joan Pryde, ladies and gentlemen, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Hi, Joan. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jim. Good morning.
Well, folks, as you know, Joe Gibbs has returned after an 11-year absence to reclaim his team, and apparently, from what I've seen of the women that I know in the Washington D.C. area, his harem, he's reclaiming his harem as well.
That's right. You bet.
I mean, this guy is some kind of a Svengali, isn't he, Joe? What's going on?
He's wonderful. If I knew what Svengali meant, I might agree with you.
Well, I mean, I've got you're like the fourth or fifth female that I know in the D.C. area that's just all, you know, a Twitter over Joe Gibbs coming back, and none of these women are that big of football fans.
I am, but I'm just upset that I have that much competition. I didn't know that.
Well, let me tell you something. I think that competition is legion. Apparently,
but
apparently everybody's happy about Joe Gibbs. You know what's dangerous, Joan?
What
is? This is a pretty tough act to live up to.
Well, he has said that.
This PR he's getting right now.
Yeah, he says it himself.
This is a major honeymoon.
Right.
And he can't deliver until, what, next August sometime.
That's right, yeah.
So that's going to be a tough act to follow. But I'm so glad. You know, folks, just nothing makes me happier than when Joan Pryde is
happy. My happiness.
Yeah, that's it. I live for your happiness, and you know that.
Okay. You said
Joan,
so.
Let's talk about the marketplace. Let's talk about Congress and businesses. You guys wrote a little bit about that this week, and you talked about whether the marketplace was going to get what it wanted from the government. What does it look like?
Well, and the answer is some, uh-huh. But not all. And I think given that this is an election year, things will be tough to get passed. Anything will be tough to get passed, which is why we say it will probably be easier to do a lot of things in 2005. But we do think a few things will squeak through this year.
All right. Give us an example.
Okay. Well,
more taxes?
More tax cuts. Well, there's this provision in the law known as FISC, which is an export tax subsidy that the European Union hates, mm-hmm. and has gone to the WTO and has gotten permission to levy fines and tariffs against us.
They sued us
in retaliation. Right, and the WTO agreed with them. So in any case, Congress is in the middle of working on repealing that export tax subsidy, and we think that when that happens, they will replace it with a broader corporate tax cut.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
So we think the top rate will go from 35% to 32% in about 3 years.
What that subsidy was for, Joan, if I remember correctly, is it was just an abatement, essentially, from the government, U.S. government, to keep U.S. companies from being uncompetitive in those foreign markets.
Right.
Is that essentially what it is?
Well, that's right, but it didn't seem to. It still angered the EU, so
yeah.
And they were successful in getting permission to retaliate against us. That's
all
the
right.
Problem.
So that's one of them. What about tort reform? We're going to get any tort reform?
Well, we say that, I think we're hedging our bets here, because the way we put it is we say that Congress is close to passing legislation that would get more of these class action suits against businesses into federal court. But we don't say it's definitely going to pass. I find that interesting that we don't say that. That has been a very tough one, because, as you know, the lawyers' lobby is a very, very strong lobby. And I think, you know, it might take a change in the Senate in terms of more Republicans in the Senate in 2004 to get this passed in 2005, possibly.
We've got to figure out a way, Joan, to allow individuals and companies to go to court to redress wrongs that have been done to them, to sue for injuries, to sue for for, you know, whatever might have happened that somebody else did to them, without it becoming such a predatory environment where lawyers can actually create cases out of whole cloth on their own without there having been a plaintiff to start with.
That's right. But I'm not convinced that it's going to happen in 2004.
Yeah. Well, I think you're right, and more's the pity, Joan. But we've got to do something about this, folks, because it's costing us, it's costing the marketplace billions of dollars, basically. I mean, I don't have the numbers, but I promise you it's in the billions of dollars. It's amazing. What about the highway bill? We're going to get more highways?
Boy, more than $300 billion over 6 years. Now, this is not an appropriations bill. It's what they call an authorization bill that will authorize projects to build roads, tunnels, and bridges. And, boy, we sure need them.
Well, and see, you know, there's nothing, there's no election year politics there. I mean, well, there isn't. There's no partisanship here. I mean, this is one area
they all
basically agree on, don't they?
That's right.
You know, they all get together and they say, okay, John, here's your highway stuff. All right, Bill. All right, Susie, here's your highway stuff.
Right. As long as I can have my road or bridge, you can have your tunnel.
Absolutely. What about minimum wage?
Well, we're saying, this is good news for your listeners, we're saying that there will not be an increase. There will be a push to raise it to $6.65, but we're saying it's not going to happen.
Joan, you'll be happy to know I'm not going to get on my minimum wage soapbox.
I'm waiting.
But I will say that I hope that Kiplinger is right, because we don't need an increase in minimum wage, because that's not, minimum wage is not a wage that's to be used to build a career around. It's a wage to start with, to be an entry level wage, and so you can earn your next step. And you'll be glad to know, Joan, that that's all I'm going to say about that topic.
Wow, I'm
shocked. Although, you know,
uh-huh.
I could go on forever.
Updated
pension requirements. Now, tell us what that means to small business.
Well, it's really for any business that has a regular defined benefit pension plan. There are certain rules in terms of how they have to calculate future liabilities and their assets. And they're supposed to use a formula based on the 30-year Treasury bond, and they're trying to change that so that the benchmark would be rather a composite of long-term high-grade corporate bonds, mm-hmm. which would be a higher rate than treasuries and mean that companies would have to put a little bit less into their pensions. The treasury rate's been kind of skewing everything, basically.
Right. All right. Stand by. We're going to take a quick break. Folks, I'm going to send Joe Gibbs some flowers for coming back and becoming the coach of the Washington Redskins, because, you know, whatever it takes to make Joan happy, that's what I live for. And so I'm going to send you some flowers and thank you for that. 20 after, stay with me. We'll be right back. We're back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And we're talking about how business is going to do, how the marketplace is going to do this year with regard to, in this election year, with regard to our government, our Congress, and our president, the Bush administration, how, whether we're going to get some of the things, some of the goodies that we need, or whether they're going to do some things that hurt us. One of the things that you say, Joan, that businesses are going to be disappointed about is continued blockage, continued failure to accomplish the bankruptcy reform law.
Well, that's right, and this is one that kind of throws me every time I talk about it, because we keep thinking it's going to get passed, mm-hmm. and it never does, and there's always something that happens at the last minute to stall it. And I haven't even heard it being talked about the last year. That's how stalled it is now.
Well, it was talked about last year, but not for a long time.
Not late
in the year. And this is an interesting one for me, because this is the first public policy issue that I reported on.
Oh, no.
In 1997, Bill McCollum of Florida, who's no longer even in Congress anymore, this was his baby, and he was the first politician back in December of 97, the first public policy issue that I started working on, and here it is now, you know, over 6 years later, and it still hasn't gotten out of the blocks, and And it's amazing that they can't make this happen. And it's,
and we should remind the listeners that what we're talking about is bankruptcy for individuals. The problem lies with the individuals, not with companies.
And what happens is the problem lies with people being able to go straight to Chapter 7, which absolves them of all debts.
Right.
And gets them off scot-free with very little, for really not an appropriate reason. I mean,
exactly.
People with, I've heard of people with as low as $1,500 credit card debt being able to take bankruptcy just to get rid of that.
Oh, I believe it.
And the bankruptcy environment has become a cottage industry, not even really a cottage industry anymore for the lawyers.
The industry, yeah.
It is a big industry. That's exactly right. It's a bankruptcy mill. They just crank them out. And
right.
And we got to stop that, folks. We've got to figure out how to make people be more responsible for their actions, and because it's hurting businesses out there. Joan, let's talk about the Central America Free Trade Agreement. That's kind of in the news right now, isn't it?
Well, I have not been keeping up with the news, so I didn't realize
well,
that.
Well, the president's been down in Mexico, and he's been meeting with the folks in South America and everything, and the Democrats are opposed to this. And I'm not. Are they? Is it because of jobs? They're worried about losing more jobs?
I think that's it, right. And so their opposition, even though they don't control Congress, their opposition will be enough to stop this from passing this year.
Free trade is a good thing, folks. And even if it frightens you a little bit, even if it hurts you a little bit on one hand, ultimately, free trade is good for everybody. And if you're an entrepreneur, if you think you're against free trade, if you think you're against NAFTA, if you're against, you know, basically what people call globalization, if you're against that, it's really hard to be a true entrepreneur and be against that because, Joan, as you know, that's what entrepreneurs do. We seek opportunities wherever they may be.
Right.
And so if you restrict things in one area, then basically it comes around to restricting you in all areas. And so I just encourage people to realize that free trade is not a bad thing. It's actually a good thing, not only for the marketplace, but for freedom everywhere. What's next, John? What are some of the other things what about those asbestos lawsuits? We keep hearing about that.
Well, and there's been a lot in the news about sort of an explosion of asbestos lawsuits. And these attorneys, you know, once again, the trial lawyers, are going after, I guess, what I would call secondary defendants. Companies that may have used asbestos or other companies like that, because the asbestos makers, I think, are all in bankruptcy now. They're gone.
Yep, yep.
So they don't have the deal. I guess they're looking for deep pockets is the easy way to put it. And they were trying to reach this kind of global agreement that would be ratified by Congress to sort of set parameters and limits on what could be sought in terms of damages and things like that. But that agreement, I mean, that they've been close to that for a while, and they really haven't been able to put the finishing touches on it for some
reason. I got the feeling that died last year, that deal was over.
It was close to being done, though. That's
yeah,
too bad.
You're right. I think it came close, but I think it's over now.
It's one of those things where if it lays around long enough, you know, you either got to do it or not do it. If it lays around, it's too many people will pick it apart, and that's also true for another piece of legislation, which is the energy bill.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, and also, and that's basically what's happened with the bankruptcy bill, too. By the way,
they've been picking that apart for 2 years now.
Yeah. What about the energy bill?
Well, the energy bill, which I've been focusing on, just because it has a lot of tax incentives for energy efficiency, was within a hair's breadth of passage last year, but didn't quite make it. And the idea was to try to get it passed early this year, but it's kind of a big, unwieldy bill, and I think it's going to be hard to corral enough votes this time around.
Also, the medical malpractice liability cap, a bill to cap those medical malpractice liabilities, that's not going to pass, you say, in 2004.
Right, and I hope you're seeing a pattern here. Everything that we've talked about that has to do with the trial lawyers is not getting through.
They've got a lot of power, folks,
and
it's concentrated, unfortunately, it's concentrated in the Democrat Party. 29 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back with our good friend Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. The show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Against your skin so brown. And I want to sleep.
celebrating 6 years as radio's small business superhero. He's a syndicated radio host, syndicated columnist, author of 2 books, and all-around nice guy.
He's everywhere!
The most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
He's Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thanks for hanging around with me today. It's always a pleasure for me, and I'm sure it is for you too, as it is for Joan Pride to be with us. It's like a dream come true for her, right, Joan?
Excuse me?
Hello, Joan.
What?
Joan, folks, I want to encourage you to check out Joan and Joan Pride and the Kiplinger editors. Check out their website at kiplinger.com, KIPLINGER.com. And don't forget to subscribe to their, you can subscribe to their, all their publications and get a 30-day free trial, too, by the way, which I worked hard to get for you. And that's they have the four letters, the Kiplinger letter, which comes every week by email and or by print. You can get it either way or both ways if you want. And that's weekly. And then they have the three biweeklies, the California letter, the tax letter, which is really, really a popular letter. And then, and of course, the agriculture letter. And did I say that, Joan? Agriculture, California, and tax. Those are the three.
That's right.
And then there's that magazine, too.
That's right. It's called Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine.
And I encourage you to check those out, folks. But please go to their website, because you'll be impressed with the information that you'll find there that's free. A lot of the stuff that's there is free. And check out their – take a few minutes and subscribe to one of their letters and let them send it to you for a month and see what you think about it. Joan, let's move over and talk about a little bit about the job figures and the economy in the marketplace. December wasn't too good, and it looks like one of the reasons is that, you know, we've got people who have just decided, you know what, I'm not going to look for a job anymore, and so even though the unemployment numbers seem to have come down, the employment numbers have not really gone up that much, at least not in December, right?
That's right, but we're saying don't panic.
Mm-hmm.
Don't assume that means the economy is sliding backwards.
It's the calm before the storm. Is that what you're saying?
Well, that's what we're saying. We still believe, businesses still say they want to hire, and manufacturing is going well. So we do think that you're going to see those employment numbers tick up pretty soon.
Well, and Joan, I want to remind people of something that I've been predicting for a long time, and it's part of why I call the 21st century the century of the entrepreneur, and it's the reason why people are saying, many, many people, probably millions of people, Joan, are saying, well, okay, let's see, I can go look for a job, or I can start my own business. I can, today, in the 21st century, 2004, people are realizing that the job security myth is just that, it's a myth, and it always really has been. And so why not try to start something on my own? And, Joan, you know, people are saying, these companies are saying two things. Some of them, as you say, are saying, we're ready to hire some more people. But they're also saying, we have more work to do now, but we don't want to hire anybody. We want to outsource this work.
That's true.
That's where the opportunity comes for those people who want to start their own business.
That's right.
And that's happening right now. And it's pretty exciting for me, Joan, because... if for no other reason, then it's proving me right on the century of the entrepreneur, right?
Right. Absolutely.
And I know how much you love it when I'm right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All the time.
Because I never remind you about those things, right?
No.
After a more than three-year depression in advertising sales, John, I mean, apparently the last 3 years are the worst 3 years on record since the Depression, since the real Great Depression for advertising. After all that time and this record period, things are picking up a little bit, aren't they?
Finally. I mean, and we as part of the publishing business, we publish a magazine that needs ads, and it's been real bad out there. It's been terrible. And the weaker ones have not survived. But we're saying that sales, and I just wish your listeners could see this nifty little graph.
It's nifty.
It looks like things are just sort of on the upswing, and we don't really see any big downturn in the near future.
Did Pollyanna draw those little dotted lines straight up there, Joan?
<so. laughs>
What about retailers? How are things going to be going for retailers this year?
Well, we put it very euphemistically. We say they face challenges. You know, we said that the holiday season turned out pretty well, which, 5.6% an increase over the holiday season is not bad. But
mm-hmm.
And we're saying that overall for 2004, retail sales will be up 4%. So again, that's pretty strong.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's not going to be strength across the board. You have, you know, your discounters who are going to do well, but those mid-market department stores still are going to have trouble.
Well, the good news you reported is Kiplinger doesn't foresee any significant bankruptcies of any of the major retailers, which is
right.
Something that's been going on now for a few years. So hopefully that's leveled off a little bit, and that's good for jobs, too. Joan,
sure
stand
is.
By. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with our good friend, Joan Pride. It's 20 Till. Stay with us. We're back at 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my newsletter, which is free, comes every week by email. And this week's article is called Why This Current Economic Expansion, is going to be longer and stronger than the last one. I give evidence to prove my position on that. And Joan, as you know, I may be frequently wrong, but I'm never in doubt.
That's right.
The dollar, Joan, we desperately need your currency expertise.
Oh, no.
The dollar,
then you must be desperate.
The dollar continues to decline. The dollar continuing to decline will fuel a 9% rise in exports. Tell us how that can be.
Understand that. I know that. Because our goods get cheaper when our dollar gets weaker against other currencies,
mm-hmm.
which is great for exporters and bad for other countries that want to import to us.
Well, yeah, and one of the things I've kind of gotten to come to understand a little bit more lately, Joan, is this issue of other currencies being pegged to the dollar and currencies that let their dollar float.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting.
Well, the euro is a floater, and that means that when our dollar goes down, our goods become more valuable in Europe, and theirs become less value over here because of the exchange rate.
But for currencies that peg their currency to us, there
like
isn't
China.
That much fluctuation. Yeah.
Right. Like China. China, for example,
right.
We'd like for China to float their currency on the market and not peg it to the dollar.
Right.
And because so when they do that, when the yuan is pegged to the dollar, when our dollar goes down, it continues to make them competitive.
Right.
So we don't have much currency ammunition with those guys, but the dollar dropping has really helped the recovery in the United States, hasn't it?
Oh, sure, it really has. Now, there's the dark side, if you've seen today's Wall Street Journal, where they talk about a concern that maybe foreign investors could start pulling out as the dollar weakens.
That and also the low interest rates that we have here. And,
right.
And there's some people are saying that that they think that our structural deficits are going to start causing that. But I think that's just a bunch of liberal scare tactics, Joan.
I'm sure.
I personally have never said the word hoo-ha before, and I never will. But anyway, Joan, what about? Let's move on down and talk about some of the abilities that the small businesses have now to sell their products overseas. The government has really stepped up and is helping small businesses learn more about exporting, aren't they?
Right, and what they're trying to do is show them how to get to the Export-Import Bank for financing.
Mm-hmm.
Also, OPIC, which is known as the Overseas Private Investment Corporation, for insurance.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
And you guys point out an outstanding website, which is part of the Department of Commerce website, folks. It's export.gov, export.gov. But also, I want you to just go. I think probably at export.gov you can get to these other ones, but also there's at the doc.gov site is that the U.S. Trade Representative's website is a good one to go to. There's another one I'm trying to think of, Jonah. For some reason, it's just left me that I'll think of in a minute. But it's an outstanding site. That there are a bunch of sites, a bunch of places you can go and learn about doing business overseas. And Joan, today, with all the help that's being made available, small businesses really have no excuse to at least get educated on what it takes to do that.
Yeah, you really need to consider this. You can't sort of shut your mind to it. at this point, since we are so globally interconnected.
Right. And that other website I wanted to tell you about, folks, it'll pop into my mind in a minute, so just hang on to that. Joan, let's move over and talk about something I know you've studied lately a good bit, and that's this thing about the alternative minimum tax trap.
Tell us about that. Alternative minimum tax is getting pretty scary. Originally, the AMT was designed just to catch the very wealthy that may be using a lot of deductions and other tax loopholes to reduce their tax liability. And the way you do it is you calculate your regular tax, and then you add back in a lot of deductions and other things and calculate your minimum tax liability, and whichever is higher, you pay that one.
Mm-hmm.
One of the problems is, there's several problems. One is that the AMT was not adjusted for inflation. It was not indexed to inflation. And a lot of these new tax cuts that have been enacted over the last couple of years are not exempted from the AMT. So you're adding them back in when you calculate AMT liability. The bottom line here is that the AMT is reaching farther and farther down into lower and lower income levels, so that a lot of middle-income people, particularly those with children and a lot of exemptions, will be paying the AMT over the next few years.
Yeah. And it's just...
It's ridiculous.
It's getting uglier and uglier.
Yes.
Every year. And we've got to figure out how to fix this. And it will. It'll become a big political football one of these days, Joan. And the thing about it is it's another example of tax reductions that needs to happen.
Right. Now, the problem is the reason it hasn't been fixed is not that people don't know how to fix it. It's just that the solutions are very expensive and would add to the deficit, which is already growing.
Right. Yep, that's exactly right. And I've forgotten what the number is, what it costs, but it's pretty darn expensive.
Yep.
To fix it, and so it's
true.
One of those things that you're right. It's just going to take some. It's going to take some courage. Joan, with the dollar dipping and that's going to keep you from making all your European trips this year, isn't it?
It's really cramping my style,
I'm
afraid. Yeah,
yeah, it's costing you so much more money, and you guys report that we should expect a dip in business travel across the Atlantic for that reason. And especially,
but only temporary.
Just your business. Just your business could cost the Europe a fortune alone.
That's right,
Stand
I know.
Stand by. We got more to come after these messages. Tintel, stay with us. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Joan Pride is our guest. Joan, you didn't think I'd remember that website, did you?
No, I didn't.
BuyUSA.com, ladies and gentlemen, is another website that you can go to find out more about import-export. And it's called BuyUSA.com, not gov, .com. It's a part of the Commerce Department's website, but it's a .com, so check that out. There's a place that says... It's a place for U.S. companies or non-U.S. companies. You can click either way, whichever one applies to you, and go there, and you can find out more about that. Joan, let's
talk. Feel better now?
I feel much better. Yeah, well, the early onset is a tough thing to have to take, Joan. Let's talk about what the states are doing, Joan, over on page 4, with regard to their budgets. They're coming up with some creative ways to finance it, aren't they?
Public-private partnerships. Government projects they need to build, but they don't have a lot of money for it, so they're bringing private businesses in. So I think that's good news for your listeners.
Did you see a report recently? This is off the letter, Joan, but did you see a report recently about how many hundreds of millions of dollars the states gave back to the government, the federal government, in education matching funds because they couldn't figure out a way to use that money?
Oh, no, I didn't.
Hundreds of billions of dollars.
Billions?
I'm sorry, hundreds of millions.
Millions,
hundreds
okay.
of millions. I've forgotten how much it was. It was a lot of money. Some states gave back a few hundred thousand, but many states gave back millions of dollars because they didn't have their cornflakes together enough to use that money. So here are states who are saying, we need more tax dollars, and yet they're turning back money to the government.
Yeah, but that's one of the problems. The government puts very strict limits on how they can use the money.
Some of this I don't think was so much like that. I think it was just inefficiency. Joan, the article that I read showed that it was just inefficiency. But the thing is
yeah, but it doesn't change the fact that they need money for other things not related to education.
You're right. You're right. But the good news, though, Joan, is with by the voters saying no more new taxes, as they did in many states this last year, the states are saying, you know what, it looks like we're going to be able to have to do this without as much money. So that means we're going to have to operate more efficiently, and we're going to have to be more creative, which brings us back to page four, Joan, which is the public-private partnerships.
Right.
That's good. That's smart, because what that's doing is that's bringing the fundamentals of operating an organization that businesses have to do. It's bringing those kinds of practices to government. I think that's a good thing.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
So folks, anytime you get a chance to vote against raising taxes for your state, you might just be able to, by doing that, you might be able to create a whole new way of doing business, which is what I think has happened. And so that's the reason why anytime you can, I can encourage you to not give your state governments more money until you know that they're operating more efficiently. I'm going to do it. Joan, what about several states are doing to help small businesses get health care coverage? This is exciting, isn't it?
That's right, and they're basically helping them offer very basic policies. And instead of a lot of this fancy stuff, you know, they need basic policies, and that's what they're trying to do is let them offer these kinds of policies without the bells and whistles.
Well, look, some policies, I mean, it's got to be this way, Joan. I mean, if I'm at my age, I don't need a policy with a fertility clause in it.
Right.
You know, and I don't, you know, and women over a certain age don't need the maternity coverage and you know, et cetera, et cetera. We've got to make sure that we're not paying for stuff that we don't need and therefore not being able to afford anything.
That's right.
So that's very smart stuff going on. Yep. I'm excited about this. Joan, what about, let's move on down and talk about, space. Let's talk about space for the minute we got left. The president did something very exciting yesterday, didn't he?
That's right. He wants to, I guess he wants to have a base at the moon that would send missions to Mars.
How about that?
That's a lot of money.
Would you go?
Hundreds of billions of dollars.
Would you go?
Well, no, I don't believe in spending hundreds of billions of dollars on this when
Why?
We have poor people, starving people.
Joan, do you know what kind of, have you thought about all the technology transfer, the benefit that we've gotten from space travel?
No, I haven't.
It's a lot. I mean, Tang alone, Joan, was worth the money. Don't you think so?
Absolutely.
Well, would you not make the trip to the moon or to Mars?
Nah, I got places on this planet I'd rather go to.
I would. I may not now.
You want to go?
I would have loved to have been an astronaut. I really would. I would have liked to have been the first man on the moon. I would. Really
well, you
would.
May still get the chance. You never know.
Well, I'm not the. I can't be. I can never be the first man on the moon. I might be the first man on Mars.
That's right.
You'd like to send me to the Mars, though, wouldn't you, Joan?
One way ticket.
Thanks, Joan.
Thank you, Jim.
See you next week.
Okay.
Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest entrepreneurial country in the world. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. This program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.